set. The nice man found his dog.
Where?
It was in a cafe.
All right.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Ian Drury and the Blockheads. Hello, everybody. It's Future Radio 107.8 FM. This is the sort of morning show, the John and Tim show, the Tim and John show, except Tim's not here. And so who's on the other microphone?
Me.
It's me. So it's me
Molly.
And it's Molly, Naylor and John Osborne on air till 12 o'clock. We've got some tunes. We've got some stories, that kind of thing. How are you, Molly?
Yeah, I'm all right. Are you glad it's me and not Tim?
No, I'm not. I like both of you equally.
Are you sure?
Tim's in...
Brunei. Whatever.
On his... Well, it's not holidays, is it? It's work.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's why he's not here. He'll be back next week telling us all about his adventures in the jungle. It's an actual jungle, isn't it?
It is. It's a jungle out there. I made a horrible joke last week about the jungle. I'm not going to do any more jungle jokes.
Oh, dear.
Jokes,
yeah, that sounds like it could have gone very badly. So, instead of Tim, who's probably having a whale of a time out in, where is it, Brunei?
Can we stop talking about Tim? It's really annoying.
It's me and you.
Yes.
I want to tell you a story about a dog, but I don't want to do it yet. I want to sort of keep it fresh because it's pretty much anything that I've got to talk about.
Okay. That was Fresh by Devo. You'd never heard Devo, had you, John?
No.
Did you like it?
Is that an uncool thing to admit?
Yes.
I was going to say, yeah, I sort of knew about them a little, but...
Do you do that?
Yeah, I do, yeah, I'm really bad at that
kind of thing. I think everyone does that. I think we should all collectively agree to stop doing that. If you've never seen the film, just say so. Don't go, yeah, I think I've seen it a long time ago.
I told you that before, that I'm one of those people, and you were really disgusted with
disappointed.
Me.
Disappointed. Disgusted, strong.
And sometimes people go, well, I don't really... Like, Danny Baker has it on his Saturday Morning Five Live show, where he does this thing called the Sausage Sandwich Game, and it's always with... like a retired footballer or some kind of sports star. And he always says, have you heard the sausage sandwich game before? And last week it was Tracy Neville, the England netball player. And she said, not on the radio, no. And Danny Baker went, oh, that's the politest way of saying no I've ever heard. It's only on the radio. I've not heard of Devo. I have heard of Devo now, though.
Yeah, see, we're discovering new things together.
Yeah, and that's the exciting thing. That's the good thing about this Future Radio playlist. It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah, we're not on, like, rubbish FM doing rubbish tunes. Although we'd fit in very comfortably there.
Yeah, we would.
What do you want to talk about? Dogs, probably, do
yeah,
you?
Yeah, probably. Just tell me about your dog.
Dogs, question mark. We'll call that feature.
Yeah, just anything about... And also, if anyone has any, we'll continue from last week, any dogs that you would like me to walk. It's more sort of you pitching your dog to me.
You're trying to get a dog walking job?
Yeah, I don't want a job. I don't want money. I just want to walk a nice dog. But I'm quite picky, so I don't want anything rubbish. Like, really. Like, so you're pitching your dog to me rather than I'm not pitching myself to you. You had to sell your dog to me, not literally.
Although...
Because I've got no money. Yeah. I just bought a car. We'll talk about that later.
Slight Return by the Blue Tones. You don't have to have this...
John, I've had my lem sip, and I'm so happy.
You've got your buzzing now, aren't you?
I've perked up, because we're playing the Blue Tones.
We've had coffee barocca, and now you've had lem sip, and we've played the Blue Tones. You can get in touch with us for a 90s anthem. We'll play
this.
The Future Radio System's pretty good for 90s... I just used the word anthem.
Ooh.
Sorry about that. Song.
If you've used the word anthem, that suggests you're going to play The Verve
Embrace. Doesn't it? What was I about to say when we were
dog
talking?
Coincidence thing?
Dog coincidence.
Or are you still going to say that one?
Should I just tell you the dog coincidence
Just tell
story?
Me the dog coincidence, because I am ready for it.
This was on Facebook on Saturday.
Okay.
Sort of early afternoon. And it's one of your friends in Falmouth.
One of my friends in Falmouth?
Yeah.
Wow.
Barry.
I'm not on Facebook anymore, listeners, because I am too dignified for it.
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
Lots of people are leaving Facebook at the moment, I've noticed. Anyway, I'm glad that I've not, because then I wouldn't have this brilliant dog coincidence story. Barry, Falmouth, about an hour ago, this says, so let's say it was 2 p.m. If anybody has spotted a Border Terrier wandering around anywhere in Falmouth in the last hour, then please grab him, answers to Mojo, or give me a shout ASAP.
Oh.
Cheers. 22 minutes ago, my friend Jess, who lives in Broughton, which is near Brigg, where I live, so North Lincolnshire, so about 10 hours from Falmouth. Yeah. I've done that journey. That's a long, long way. Anybody lost a rough-haired Border Terrier, one wandering in town on Town Hill, Broughton, dark collar? And my mind just got really baffled, because I know, looking at his Facebook, that he'd lost it within the last hour.
Yeah.
But still, that's too much of a coincidence that two people... How often do you see people losing dogs on Facebook?
Especially
not very often.
Especially a rough-haired Border Terrier.
And then I kept looking at it, and I printed it out, because I thought it would be a good thing to talk about. And I was wondering whether to contact either of them, but I didn't know what to say, and I didn't want to sort of give them false hope if there wasn't anything to do. And I was really confused. And then I just noticed, like, look at those emails. You've noticed anything really weird? Because I was getting really... Because I was also reading up on coincidences at the time. And I was just trying to work out, do I email Barry and say, I think I might have found your dog, but it's 10 hours away. That can't have happened. But at the same time, it is two things. Have you noticed anything?
No, tell me.
They both made the same typo.
What?
They both put wondering instead of wandering. It gets a bit freaky, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm invested because it's about dogs.
Yeah.
But and I really like Border Terriers.
Yeah.
They're nice.
I think
the idea of all this.
Even if it said, if anybody has spotted a dog wandering around anywhere, anyone lost a dog, like that would have still been a weird coincidence. But yeah. Border Terrier.
Hey Charlie. Hey Chuck. Hey Charlie.
We were just talking about that song. It's amazing, isn't it?
Hey, Charlie, Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
It's a tune.
John thinks it's like... He was comparing it to Bohemian Rhapsody because he was just going, how do you write this song? It's
I like
so
those songs
weird.
That have got so many component parts that all sort of come together naturally. It's pretty exciting. So this is the Tim and John show, but there's no Tim today, so we're joined by Molly Naylor. Hi, Molly.
Hi, John.
It's fun when you're around, isn't it,
better,
in this little radio studio.
Well, the thing I like about you is you let me do things. Like John just let me touch one of the buttons. Really exciting.
You can touch any of the buttons.
Thanks.
Touch one now. What would you like to touch?
That one.
That's when somebody phones the studio.
Okay. Well, I know that now. See, I've learned something. Dogs go missing a lot in Falmouth. My friend Danielle had a beagle called Charlie, and he used to go missing all the time. And one time, they just got to the point where they just didn't care. They were, oh, he's gone again. And
one time,
Danielle's mum went down into town, and Charlie came running out of the bakery with a pasty in his mouth.
Did she, like, was it really awkward? Did you pretend she didn't know him?
Yeah.
Sorry, you must think I'm someone else, Charlie. Or whatever your name is. And also, we've not done this show together for a while, have we?
So long.
When we did it last year a few times, we talked about pet peeves. And I remembered a pet peeve the other day, which is on radio quite a lot, but also in real life as well. People will say, they'll play a band like the Beatles, or they'll talk about the Beatles, or maybe they'll talk about a writer like Shakespeare. And they'll say, oh, promising future, I predict big things for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
I
happens all the time, and I can't stand it. And you can, it's one of those things, the reason I dislike it is that you can sort of see it coming a mile off. They'll start it, and it's one of those things that you can only really get across in about a minute and a half of dialogue, and it's like, it makes me crushed.
John, I think I might have done that.
No, I think that again is one of... the reasons that I dislike it, because I've definitely done it.
I did it to Andrew Motion. I negged him on stage.
Yeah, that's bad.
And I said like, oh, the newbie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, right, okay. So I've done a pet peeve.
Yeah, but I've done it as well.
Good.
And I think everyone does it, and it needs to be addressed.
I thought of one of my pet peeves. Would you want to know it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It might offend some people, I'm increasingly annoyed by lots of normal, rational people, my friends and people I know, people on Twitter, giving up dairy milk. They've just decided they're going to start... It's not
the chocolate bar.
Milk from a cow, milk from a cow's body. And they've suddenly started deciding, oh, I'm just going to drink soya milk. I'm going to drink almond milk or rice milk, because apparently now normal milk's bad for you. If you're vegan, fine. If it's a kind of ethical thing, of course it's fine. But if you think you're just going to like lose a stone because you're drinking some weird milk, then I think you need to check yourself.
Has this been a gradual thing or is it quite immediate? Has there been an article?
No, it's just all my... everyone I keep seeing, like, oh, I don't drink dairy milk. Why? It's delicious. It comes from a lovely cow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like licking a cow.
It is. What do you think of it? Are you going to carry on drinking milk?
Yeah, I always am, yeah.
Switch.
I used to have blue milk, and what? Now I used to have Blue Top. It's not called Blue Top, is it? It's called Silver Top. Is it Silver Top, Blue Top?
Full fat, is that what you're
full
talking
fat,
about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just called full fat, mate.
And I used to have that all the time on my Rice Krispies when I was growing up. And I can't even look at that now. It's
really?
So sickly, yeah.
That's why you're such a big, strong boy.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. So, what do you want? Do you want Blur now, Molly?
Of course I want Blur. What was the film you were on about, the worst film?
Yeah, this is fairly recently. It's called Movie 43. In one of the most vivid cases of a great cast not making a great movie, the latest film from the Farrelly brothers has received one of the worst critical maulings in recent years. It's a series of comic vignettes directed by a number of different directors. And do you know who's in it? Dennis Quaid, Hugh Jackman, Kate Winslet, Uma Thurman, Naomi Watts, Halle Berry, Seth MacFarlane, Anna Faris. I love Anna Faris.
All right, John.
Sorry. It's received 5% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with critics unanimous in their hatreds. It's based around a washed-up screenwriter. Always a good idea
always
for a
classic
film.
That's yeah. One of the just the ultimate no's.
I'm writing a novel about a man struggling to write a novel. washed-up screenwriter Dennis Quaid, who pitches terrible ideas to a film executive at gunpoint. And it appears that the actual results may be every bit as terrible as fictional ideas being pitched. Among them is a skit in which Hugh Jackman reveals on a blind date... Oh, that's disgusting. I can't read that.
Really?
It involves a part of your body. And there's one... a solitary voice of praise came from Michael O'Sullivan in the Washington Post, who said, Movie 43 is a near masterpiece of tastelessness. The anthology of 12 short, interconnected skits elevates the art form of gross-out comedy to a new height. Kim Newman of Empire magazine summed it up most succinctly, summarising it simply with the words... No.
Really?
It's out now across the UK.
It sort of sounds amazing.
I know what you mean, yeah. Are you a believer of that kind of so bad it's good thing?
Yeah. I think when... Because I'm trying to be a scriptwriter myself, so I... And when I go
good
see
luck.
Something... thanks, it's going pretty well, actually. When I see something bad, it's sort of more helpful than seeing something amazing. Because if I see something amazing, like Lost in Translation, I just think, well, I might as well give up and do something else. But when I see something bad, I just think, brilliant, I can...
But I don't think Lost in Translation is great, other than that it's got Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson
in it.
It's
one of my favourite
films. I think it's a badly...
Oh, no, are you one of those people that say, nothing happens?
No, I'm not. I love it. I really love it. But I love it despite a lot of problems with
really?
It.
And, I sort of think it's perfect. Anyway, you can let us know if you've seen what you think your worst film in the world is that you've ever seen. You can get in touch with us. Please do. That was, of course, the Beatles with Ticket to Ride. John, can I tell you something about that song?
Yes.
You know Guitar Hero, or one of those things
that
you play on?
I'm rubbish at
computer
it.
Computer games. I once sang Ticket to Ride on that game, and I got 100%.
Is that your story?
Oh, I think it might be.
Oh,
I
no.
thought it was going to peak. It didn't.
That's a rubbish game, Guitar Hero. I hated it so much.
That's because you don't like singing.
No, I don't.
Well, then you.
There isn't
like
any
it.
Singing involved in Guitar Hero.
Well, it wasn't. Obviously, it's not.
Oh, were you playing?
Hero.
Were you playing
rock bands?
The Beatles rock band?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe
sorry,
that
still boring.
I guess I can see that being more fun. It was just the original Guitar Hero that I hated. Where you just have to basically. It's basically just one of those games that's sort of colour hand coordinating.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with guitar, is it?
No. And this is too outdated a conversation to even have.
Yeah, God, I'm so embarrassed.
But Jerry Sedgwick, this interview is going to disgust you, by the way.
Is it?
It's going to really upset you. So Jerry Sedgwick, who is coming to Norwich Arts Centre on the 16th of Feb, if you like that kind of thing. He's kind of, was legendary in the 80s and 90s. He had a TV show briefly as being this very controversial, didn't care about stuff comedian and didn't care about kind of public conception and that kind of thing. And it's obviously kind of anti-media and doesn't want to have his things publicised. And the British comedy website got in touch with him to promote his new tour, and they emailed him some questions. Here's the first question. And to be fair to British comedy, they have responded, they have printed everything on their website verbatim. Hi, Jerry. For those who haven't seen you perform, could we ask you to describe your style of comedy? I've been doing comedy since 1984. If people haven't seen me by now, then they probably have no desire to see me at all, so no point in describing anything.
Right.
You started off as a magician with comic banter. Like, the funny thing is that because it's an email thing, it's like it's just a really tenacious interviewer who's, like, really resilient to all of the questions. He started off as a magician with comic banter, but are now perhaps more often labelled a comedian first, a stand-up who can do magic. How did that transition occur? And was it deliberate or not of your choosing? What a boring question. I honestly switched off halfway through. I'm sort of on his side at the moment.
I am at this point. I was just thinking that.
Your sleight-of-hand skills are revered. Is it something you have to keep practising? Or once you've got it, is that it learnt?
That is an awful question.
This is a really stupid question. Would you ask the same thing of a musician? By the way, it's sleight of hand, S-L-E-I-G-H-T, not sleight of hand. Just in case you interview another magician in the future.
I'm still on his side.
You're about to tour your show, Comedian, Magician, Ball Bag, around the country. What can people expect? Comedy and magic from a ball bag. You don't strike us as the sort of person who particularly wants to engage with the media or a person who likes the media. So is talking to us to tell people about your tour a necessary evil, or have we misread your feelings? Nothing gets past you, does it? No wonder you're an editor.
Okay. You're turning.
You've just finished a successful run of the show in London. Ahead of this, you got a lot of publicity when a 1987 recording of you talking about Jimmy Savile surfaced. You then appeared as a Savile-like character in a video to promote the show. Yet later said in an interview you didn't want to talk about the Savile topic as it doesn't interest me. But surely the video suggests it does. Please tell me you have a better question than this. This country's falling apart.
Wow.
You said in the past, I've got a lot of ideas that I'd love to do for telly, but they never see the light of day. Would you agree that this is self-perpetuated offensive label and the reaction to the Paul Bearer's review show you did have on TV that has kept a distance between you and the commissioners? No. In retrospect, I got the Paul Bearer's review through a ruling-class promoter and his ruling-class producer friend at the BBC. At the time, I was naive enough to believe I got it through talent. As for the commissioning editors themselves, they are unequivocal plonkers who know very little about anything at all. Their faces go completely blank when you present them with an original idea, so I stopped submitting anything to them a long time ago. Worse, many of them are now women, which means the art of comedy will be completely lost within the next 5 years.
Oh, Jerry, no, you didn't.
He did.
Oh, boy. I'm sad now. What a doofus.
And then he starts talking about how Alan Yentob didn't even read the scripts and got panicky. And he goes on a really long rant about this. Yeah, he says, all the producers play their Jerry is difficult card. During this interview. So if someone like Chris Morris or a complete chancer like Charlie Brooker attempt something controversial, they will be back to the hilt by their channels because they are of the same class as the public school boys who run them.
I've never seen him. Have you seen him? What's he like, Jerry?
I've never seen him. From what I've heard, well, you can see him for yourself at Norwich Arts Centre on the 16th of Feb. But from what I've heard, he was genuinely brilliant in the 80s when he was a new act and quite exciting and innovative. And he now can't disguise his bitterness at the world on stage. And so it can be quite interesting. We think it fair to say that a notable number of people who have seen you perform over the years have been offended by your act, i.e. the walkouts. Do you have a message for these people? If they've walked out of my show, then they're hardly going to be reading this article, are they?
That's actually a fair point.
At least they came to a show. I'm sure you haven't. This question may appear to be coming out of the blue, but we guess you'll probably spot where we're coming from. What are your real views on women? I did not spot where you're coming from. Did you? Asking a comedian what his real views are on the topics he covers on stage is like asking a magician how his tricks are really done. A time-wasting, boring, stupid, unhelpful exercise. And please try to specify which women, otherwise you are coming across as generalising and sexist.
Oh.
Which he would never do. Thank you for submitting to our... This is the best bit. Thank you for submitting to our grilling, Jerry. To finish on a light note, can we ask you, what has been the happiest day of your life and what did the day involve? Of all the stupid questions so far, this one is particularly annoying and irrelevant. And when I meet you, I propose to write it down on cardboard and nail it to your face. And the editorial comment at the end is, in hindsight, we particularly regret including that last question in the email now. Nevertheless, we'd like to thank Jerry for his time.
That's wonderful.
I imagine there is still a hardcore following that Jerry Sandwich gets. Yeah. Misshapes by Pulp. Hello, everyone. It's John and Molly on Future Radio, 107.8 FM.
Hi.
16 minutes to 11. It's nice that it's sunny and that, again, isn't it? Not snowy and icy and horrible.
It's delightful.
You can't cope in the snow and ice, can you?
No.
You're emotionally like an old doddering lady.
Yeah, which is something that you previously might not have had to suffer, but now, as we live together, not in the biblical sense...
Yeah, me and Molly are housemates.
We're housemates now, and so I just feel terribly sorry for John. It's been awful for him, because I'm just a husk for months. So how have you been dealing with it?
Well, like I said, I think you're generally just miserable and sad in your own head, so it's not really affecting me that much. Oh. I think it's affecting you a lot more than it's affecting me.
Well, that's a relief.
You always put on a brave face when I'm around.
Stiff upper lip, that's me, mate.
Stiff upper lip, yeah. You are moaning about it on a radio show.
That's so true.
Did you have another... What was the worst film that you were going to talk about?
Oh, yeah. The worst film I've ever seen is called Molly, and someone bought it for a joke, obviously, because it's called Molly, and it's got Elizabeth Shue in it.
Okay, she's one of those people who I've heard of but can't picture.
You'd like her. She's got yellow hair, and she's called Molly, and I used to have yellow hair, and I'm called Molly, so people had a freak out and bought it for me.
Whenever I hear Elizabeth Shue, I think of, for some reason, Jessie from Saved by the Bell.
Not the same.
Is she called something like Elizabeth Shue?
I don't know. Find out in your own time.
Because normally I think about Kelly from Saved by the Bell.
I know, it's nice, isn't it? You're growing.
Yeah.
No one thinks about Lisa from Saved by the Bell.
They do.
Do they?
Yeah, some people do.
Oh, all right. So this film, right, so Molly is a young woman with autism. She's severely autistic. And then she's involved in these kind of groundbreaking medical breakthroughs. And they cure her, essentially. Make her normal. It's really offensive.
Yeah.
But then her brother sort of decides that now she's, in inverted commas, normal, she's less charming and kooky and wacky, so they take the medication away and she goes back.
Oh.
It's really...
Is that the end?
Yeah, and it's like her on a boat and it's supposed to be some kind of celebration of something. But it's just really offensive to everyone. There's no group of people that's not offensive to.
Yeah.
Do not watch it. That was The Bees with Go Where You Want to Go. You're listening to Future Radio, 107.8 FM. This is the John Osborne and Tim Clare show. But do I sound like Tim Clare?
No.
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 I do not. I sound like Molly Naylor, because that's who I am, filling in.
Tim's in a...
Brunei.
I've got one of those mental blocks on Brunei.
Have you?
Because I'm getting confused between Brunel and Bahrain.
Right. Neither of
Brunel's a university, isn't it?
Yes.
One of those cool universities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, Brunei's where Tim Clare is, in the jungle.
Yes, that's right.
Having a fun time.
I hope he is.
I hope he is.
I do like him. I'll stop slagging him off on air. What have you got anything to say, John? I haven't.
This is something that me and Tim talked about last year, or kind of like the end of 2011, doing our Christmas special show every year. The AV Club, this very cool website, compile the worst band names of the year.
This is going to be amazing.
It's so good.
Are you going to read me the worst band names?
Yeah, they split it into different categories. Lots of them involve swearing. The one that Tim really, really hated last year, it made him so angry, and they were called Land Rover. I didn't think that was like the worst of the bunch, but you know, when some people it really resonated
with
him. It got onto his nails. Yeah, he couldn't stand it. But hopefully I'll get a similar reaction with you from these. This is just one category that I'm going to read out.
Go on. What's the category?
I think this first one is going to be pretty hard to beat. The saddest landscape.
Oh, no.
I'm going to ride your fader in case you will swear. Do you want to know some song titles by The Saddest Landscape?
Yes, please, John.
The weight of the world and every dress you wore.
Say it again.
The weight of the world and every dress you wore.
Is that all one title?
Yeah.
Oh, my days.
Wish list for the drowning. Kiss like a miracle. The temptation that is you.
Oh.
We were dancing an hour before we met.
Oh. I don't know what to do with myself.
Okay. This next band is called A Troop of Echoes. And the AV Club are really good because they find interesting things about the bands. Excerpt from their biog. With no local saxophone-driven rock scene to latch onto, the troop ventured into the wild.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
It's a band called Until Your Heart Stops.
Wow.
This is good. TKTTSM. And the AV Club write, if your name was The Kiss Try to Smack Me, you'd use an acronym too.
Oh, I'm going to burst.
It gets worse. Maybe this is the worst one.
Go on.
The Hooks.
Oh, that's disgusting.
From Portland, Oregon, as if that wasn't obvious. Eden's Edge, winner of the longest band biog, 1,371 words, which doesn't include the individual biogs for all three members, which clocks in at 11,036 words. For comparison, the Led Zeppelin Wikipedia page is only 6,800 words.
Lovely stuff.
And this last one, I think it's not too bad. I think you can sort of get away with it.
Okay.
I don't. A Nice Vibe. No. From San Francisco. Greg Charles, whose smooth love songs seem constructed from karaoke backing tracks. He thanks listeners in a 7.5-minute video on his site where he stands in front of green screen footage of San Francisco and spends the better part of a minute rattling off all the countries he apparently has fans in. Yeah, it's disgraceful, isn't it?
Yes.
It's really funny. I love bad band names.
I love them so much. My friend invented what he thought was the worst band name, Anorexic Tramp. Darling, I'm with St. Bernard and we're scouring the... Los Campesinos with Romance is Boring. I completely agree. I'm going to London at the weekend.
Are you?
I'll tell you what I'm doing on the weekend. I've got this amazing friend called Tom Clutterbuck and he always gets me amazing presents and for my birthday. And I never know what to get him, and I always end up getting him a T-shirt or a book, and he doesn't even read books because he's a bit stupid. So I decided this year I'm going to actually get him something good. So what I got him, on Saturday, we're going to the Prince Charles Cinema in London, big London, and we're going to a John Hughes pyjama party. It's like John Hughes marathon. So it starts at 9 p.m. and finishes at 9 a.m. And so you've got, if you don't know who John Hughes is, he made all those amazing 80s films. So you've got Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Uncle Buck, Planes, Trains and Automobiles. And we're just going to, Weird Science kicks off with that, Pretty in Pink. And we're just going to watch all of them in the cinema with loads of other weirdos.
Do you have to wear pyjamas?
I don't know, but I'm going to.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. That sounds really, really fun.
How about you? What are you
What's your favourite out of all of those films, the John Hughes films?
Probably Ferris Bueller, just for that scene when they're in the art gallery and the Smiths comes on.
Can I tell you something?
Oh, no. What?
That might be one of my least favourite films, Ferris Bueller.
Of all time, or of John Hughes?
Of John Hughes, maybe not of all time, but yeah, it made me really angry when I watched
it.
Just because I'd heard such good things about it, and it was so disappointing.
I think with a lot of those films, you can't watch them now and go, oh, this is
No, but I think I think that's certainly true, but, like, it was more than that.
Right.
Like,
okay.
I was angry. I didn't like any of those kids. I found them all annoying.
John, we're going to have to talk about this off air.
Yeah.
I am fuming.
I love those John Hughes 80s films.
Yeah.
But not that one.
Which one do you like? Uncle Buck, probably.
I love Uncle Buck. I started watching Richie Rich over Christmas
Did
as
you?
Well. Yeah, I really loved it. I couldn't watch the rest of it. I was sad.
Oh.
No, it made me sad. It's not because I was sad that I couldn't watch it.
Not like me. So what are you up to?
Not a lot, really. Just keeping on not eating crisps. That's my plan.
Good.
Take every day as it comes. Yeah, I'm going to London on Thursday. I'm going to a French restaurant.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right, mate. Are you going to eat snails?
I don't know. I might do. I've had them before.
Have you?
Do you know a story that my mum told me? My mum was a French teacher, and she used to make for her the kids in her school. And also, she taught evening classes as well. And she'd do it to the evening, to the grown-ups that she taught in the evenings. She would give them frog's legs and see what they thought about it.
Really?
But actually, it was just chicken.
Well, and then just watch their reaction, and then freaking out.
Yeah, and that's so you just make chicken and put in a weird sauce and then go, this is frog's legs. And some of them were like, this is horrible. This is horrible. I can't eat it.
Lovely bit of chicken.
And some people would just go, this is so much nicer than chicken. This is amazing.
Really
and then there
good.
Was always just a couple who went, just tastes a bit like chicken.
I know.
And they always felt really bad.
I never had your mum down for such a prankster.
No, that's why I really like it. Like, it's a little bit out of character. It's a bit off kilter. I really like it.
I can't say anything else because I'm just too busy trying not to say ooh la la.
So can I tell you a nice story?
Oh, please.
This is from a website that I use quite a lot for this radio show, Letters of Notes. It's a man called Sean Usher who collates lots of letters and puts them all on his website. And he's got a book out soon. It was supposed to be out for Christmas, but I noticed it wasn't, and it's out now in June. Sounds like Sean Usher's been having a few teething problems.
Not personal problems.
Maybe, yeah. He did get married a few months ago.
Ooh.
So it's weird how much you know about someone just because of Twitter. Like, I've never met this guy, but I know that he got married a few months ago and that he's having a breakdown. He's not having a breakdown. I've just assumed that. This is a letter to Winston Churchill from his wife, Clemmy. And Clemmy has featured a couple of times on this website. She seems to be really a real sweetheart.
Four.
June the 27th, 1940... My darling, I hope you will forgive me if I tell you something that I feel you ought to know. One of the men in your entourage, a devoted friend, has been to me and told me that there is a danger of your being generally disliked by your colleagues and subordinates because of your rough, sarcastic and overbearing manner.
Oh, my God. Can I just say at this point, I love Clemmy.
Yeah. She's so amazing. It seems your private secretaries have agreed to behave like schoolboys and take what's coming to them and then escape out of your presence, shrugging their shoulders. Higher up, if an idea is suggested, say at a conference, you are supposed to be so contemptuous that presently no ideas, good or bad, will be forthcoming. I was astonished and upset because in all these years I have been accustomed to all those who have worked with and under you, loving you. I said this and I was told, no doubt it's the strain. Like, I'm nearly weeping. My darling Winston, I must confess that I have noticed a deterioration in your manner and you are not so kind as you used to be.
Oh.
It is for you to give the orders, and if they are bungled, except for the King and the Archbishop of Canterbury, you can sack anyone and everyone. Therefore, with this terrific power, you must combine urbanity, kindness, and, if possible, Olympic calm. You used to quote, Honoren sola em capa lacom. I cannot bear that those who serve the country and yourself should not love as well as admire and respect you. Besides, you won't get the best results by rudeness. They will breed either dislike or a slave mentality. Please forgive your loving, devoted and watchful Clemmy.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Isn't it incredible?
That's so nice.
It's really sweet, isn't it?